All right, and we're back. Not quite live. Streaming on about a 45-second delay, I think it is, from Advertising Week New York 2024, the 20th anniversary of Advertising Week, oddly enough. Although, I think I'm only on my 12th year. Anyway, I'm pleased to have Maggie Walsh, Head of Strategy at GLOW, in the studio with me today. To kick things off, Maggie, if you would tell us a little bit about GLOW and what you do there.
Awesome. Well, thank you for having me. And yep, my name is Maggie. I'm Head of Strategy at Creative Shop GLOW. We're an independent agency. We've been around for the past 25 years. And, you know, I like to say, you know, we're a strategic and creative partner to some of the most interesting brands in the world. Our bread and butter has really been in the entertainment space and the social media space, but what we've been able to find is that there are a lot of brands that are really interested in that point of view for driving growth for their brands now. So we do a full service.
Full service. Well, we're going to talk all things sort of fan culture today. And I think it's a massive understatement, probably the understatement of the day for me, and I pride myself on massive understatements, to say that fan culture has exploded over the past decade or more. To what would you attribute that growth?
I would say, you know, the biggest cultural shift has to do with the media platforms that we all have access to. So I think going from a very passive media culture in terms of television, where, you know, people are consuming media, to one that we've all seen that now we participate in media through things like social media. And I think, you know, why it's exploding, why it feels like it's exploding over the past decade is it just takes time for those things to really start to, you know, go from being very niche to something that feels very mainstream.
So maybe it's just my imagination. Maybe we were always this way and I'm just hearing about it.
I mean, I think that one of the things I get really excited about fan culture is that it's incredibly human, right? It really speaks to that really innate human desire to form communities and get to know each other on the things that we're passionate about. So I would fully agree with you that it's always been around, and what things like social media and these new platforms have allowed it to be is something that everyone can be part of.
You know, when it comes to brands, and, you know, let's say a brand wanted to adopt a fan culture friendly strategy, which is tough to say, fan culture friendly strategy, both in traditional channels and through social media, what advice would you give them?
I think, you know, for the brands that usually that I'm talking to, I think they're always looking for how do we grow our brand, right? It's always challenging. It's always something that feels like you have to play catch up when all the media channels switch. And so for brands that are looking to adopt a fan strategy, I think I wouldn't say it's simple, but it's simple in terms of being able to explain it. Put fans at the center, right? So instead of looking at them as just one spoke on part of your strategy, think about how can I put fandom at the center and use that to power all of the different things that we're doing as a brand. And, you know, I think some of the ways that I usually talk about being able to do that, I think, you know, one, you know, starting with a community-centric approach, right? Instead of it being like, okay, how do I build community after? How do I start with the community first?
My next question is in two parts. First, looking ahead, what trends do you see developing in fandom and fan culture that you think today's marketers should be aware of? And I'll get to the second part in a second. Let's start there.
So what trends?
Yeah.
I would say like one of the most interesting trends that I've definitely seen is being able to create new products and new, you know, whether it's merch or collaborations with the fandoms, right? So instead of it just being, again, sort of a content-driven strategy, I think being able to see, you know, where brands and different marketers can come into play and actually collaborate with that fan community and create things has been the most interesting.
And following up on that, we've seen a continued rise in fandom for some of the more traditional IP out there. So your Star Wars, your Marvel, all that. Lately, we've also seen a massive surge in the popularity of things like anime in the West, where it's always had a cult following, but now it's really fully mainstream. Like, it's taken over my local shopping mall to a degree I never would have anticipated when I was a kid. And, you know, had tangentially sort of seen it and was like, well, that's cool. But now it's everywhere. I never expected that. What are you keeping tabs on at GLOW that could be among the next big things? So it's sort of a crystal ball and more like I want to appear hip to the kid later.
Well, number one, I love that question because I think it kind of goes back to what you started with. You know, has this been something that's always existed and I just haven't seen it? And I think, you know, at least for me growing up, I always thought that, you know, fan culture was either for like the super nerds, say the Star Wars, yeah, or the super sports fans, right? If I didn't have the jersey and the paint. And what's happening now is that it's sort of illuminating these dormant fandom behaviors in all of us because we want to connect. And so in terms of things that I've had my eye on, I think I've been really interested in I'm trying to decide which ones I want. I think the biggest thing is actually, I'll take back what I just said, around sports culture. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think for a long time, sport culture and sports fandom was based on the idea of men's sports, right? And sort of what, you know, male athletes wanted. And what's happening right now is this huge explosion around women's sports. And I think that's not the interesting part, right? That's the thing we can all see. We all have the jerseys and things like that. I think what's interesting is seeing how, with women at the center, both as fans and owners of these teams and also the athletes, we are starting to see a completely different type of sports fandom emerge, and the different behaviors, the rituals, the traditions, the way people interact, what they're demanding is a little bit different. And I think we're just at the beginning of that journey, and we're starting to see that influence not just how people appear in, you know, as sports fans for those things, but how those things can interact with other parts of culture the way that big sports entertainment properties do.
I'm super interested in this because I actually have never thought of it that way before. What actually are you seeing?
So a couple of things. I think, you know, I'll use a couple examples from what I've seen. But on a very, very basic level, I'm a big fan of the New York Liberty, right? Uh-huh. They're one of the teams here. They're one of the ones that, you know, is at the forefront of really driving sort of that new fandom. And a couple things, I think, happening from that. I think, one, the example I always like to talk about is their sports mascot looks nothing like any other sports mascot. Are you familiar by any chance?
Oh, yeah.
Ellie, the elephant, she's female, right, which already is different. And two, I think, you know, when I think a lot about mascots and mascot culture, it's about, you know, a little bit of silliness, a little bit of humor, like getting the team excited. She definitely brings that. She definitely has that. But she also brings, you know, swag. She brings her, like, literally is dressed really well. She brings dance. She's bringing all these different communities. And I think that's really representative of the fandom that is actually showing up at those games as well. On a smaller level, I would say, outside of, let's say, mascots and in terms of what the women's sport, you know, women's sports fandom is bringing, I would even see like really basic stuff in just in terms of like how the games are operating. So I think one of the things that I've seen on social listening a lot is people talking about like it feels less aggressive. It feels like it's just like a community of people coming together, and then they're taking that off of the game and off, you know, off of the field and out of the stadiums as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that, I'm from Portland. Been working for Advertising Week for 12 plus years at this point. But, you know, one of my favorite pastimes has been always taking my daughter to the Portland Thorns matches. And, you know, I definitely prefer the Thorns matches to the Timbers matches. I just do. The atmosphere is nothing against the Timbers atmosphere whatsoever. It's just the Thorns matches are a lot more what I think of as family friendly.
Yeah, and I think, again, like, it's not to say that that is the only thing that could happen with women's sports. I just right. think it's just, it's interesting to see when a younger, you know, again, a younger fandom
yeah.
that is not just, you know, maybe a little bit female-centric, but also, hey, like, this is not generation and necessarily generation and generation of fans. It's a little bit more modern, a little bit more fresh, what they can do with the sport and what they can do with fandom.
Absolutely. It's interesting, though, you know, and also going back to something you said earlier about sports fandom that I had really not even thought of until you just brought it up was, you know, way back when you were like a jock or a nerd.
Yeah.
And the nerds liked the Star Wars and the Marvel stuff, and the jocks were really into sports, but they were just sports nerds is all they really were. They just didn't really identify that way. And we didn't identify them that way. You know, as somebody who crossed over from Star Wars nerd to sports nerd at some point in my life, I don't remember when, doesn't matter. But it feels more like everything is, I don't want to say a little more equal, but we all are sort of treating fandoms, it feels like, a lot more evenly these days. Is that really just through social media and just our exposure to all these different fandoms all the time, do you think? Or is it generational? What is that? Or a little bit of both?
I definitely would say it's a little bit of both. I think, again, not to completely gender it, but when I'm thinking about my own experience and also thinking about what I've observed in culture, mm-hmm. I think two things have happened. One, yes, people have had this sort of inner fandom, right? Whether it's fan behavior or what they're passionate about that could be expressed in a lot of different ways, but it never really had an outlet, right? It might be something that I'm doing with friends. It might be something that maybe was stigmatized or not celebrated in culture, right? Again, like my other favorite example is sort of what's been happening around reality television, something that felt like it was frivolous and small and silly, right? And suddenly it's like, hey, maybe reality television could be a, you know, a version of sports fandom just in a different way. So I think by connecting those different fandoms through things like social media, where people could do two things, they could find each other, build those communities, build those passionate groups. They could also start to wield collective power and influence that helped raise, the cultural appreciation for the things that they cared about, right? I think a perfect example that we're all very familiar with would be something like Taylor Swift, right? Where obviously she's popular, her music's popular, but I think bigger than that, what she was really able to do was sort of tap into this, you know, invisible feeling that a lot of young girls, you know, felt hadn't been expressed, hadn't been celebrated, hadn't been understood. And by them sort of collecting and, you know, really showcasing their love for her, I think not only did it drive her to popularity, but it also, I think, gave room for those types of fandoms to have a really big place in culture outside of the ones that we feel are really traditional.
Absolutely. Well, if one wanted to find out more about GLOW and about yourself, where would they go?
They could find me pretty much on every social media platform. It's at Monster Mags, Monster, yep, M-A-G-G-S. And if you want to find out about GLOW, come find us at weareglow.com. That's also our handle across all platforms.
Excellent. Well, Maggie, thanks so much for taking the time to be on. This is a pleasure.
I appreciate it. Thank you.